Rav Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud. This year should be a Refuah Shleima with so many Chayli Yisrael, but I have in mind four specific ones that I'm close with. Baruch Ben Hindachaya, Ruchama Chana Bracha, Bas Chasya Hen Yemiril, Avrom Yosef Meir Rafael Ben Chisha Devora, and Pesha Gittel Bas Mindel. They should have a Refuah Shleima v'soch Shar Chayli Yisrael. Perek Yud. Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to learn through the Perek this week, and we'll come back to any points that we miss in the following week, as Perek Yud Aleph is a shorter Perek. In the past Perek, we learned that Shaul went wandering around looking for the Asonos, looking for the donkeys, until he made his way through the country and all the different districts, and he came to Shmuel, and Shmuel told him the donkeys were found, and your father's worrying about you, and you're going to become the king. He hinted it to him. Hallo ki mishochacho Hashem, hallo ulami kol chemdas Yisrael, that all of the desirable things in Klal Yisrael are destined for Shaul. He's going to become the king. And he took him to the roof, and we learned the roof signifies a place high up, that his malchus should be elevated. But all that was done quietly between the two of them. They left the city the next day, and the nar, the lad, was told to go ahead, not to be there. And vayikach Shmuel es pach ha-shemen. Shmuel took the jug of oil, and he's going to anoint Shaul. And the Gemara learns out in Horius and Croesus that the oil that was used for Malchus Beis David, first of all, was poured from a horn, from a keren, because a horn signifies power and strength, like an animal that uses it to be nogeach, to gore. But here was a pach. It was an earthenware container that once the pottery breaks, a pach nishbar, and that's it. The pottery's garbage. It's finished. So this malchus also wouldn't have the permanence, wouldn't have the strength and the power. It was a pach. And the oil was not shemen hamishcha. Shemen hamishcha has very special qualities. Qualities that it's, for instance, by David HaMelech, when he was anointed in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it said over there, Shmuel took the Keren HaShemen and he anointed David, Batitzlach Ruach HaShem El David. There was a certain spirit, whether it was a spirit of some type of nevuah or some type of strength or the courage of kingship, but there was a certain Ruach HaShem that passed over David. He was anointed and immediately there was a change. We'll see by Shaul, he didn't sense any change yet until a little bit later. But initially, Shmuel took this Pach HaShemen. It was an earthenware flask. It contained regular scented oil, Shemen HaFar Simon, it was Shemen. Vayitzok al Rosho, and he poured it on the head of Shaul. Vayishakeu, and he kissed him. A kiss conveys a certain connection and an attachment. When Shmuel kissed Shaul, it was to give him some type of connection to the Tzadik Hador, to the Gadol, to the Novi. And we'll see later on, Shaul was given an experience of Nevuah. But this is something that you don't find elsewhere. Somehow Shaul needed that extra chizik. The very fact that he wasn't summoned from the other end of the country with a royal proclamation, behold, Shaul Ben Kish is anointed, it will be anointed king, everybody should come for a grand ceremony. It didn't work that way. Shaul went looking for some mules, and he happens to meet Shmuel. It wasn't even his idea. His lad said, you know, let's go to Shmuel. He meets Shmuel, and then he's told privately he's going to become the king, and the oil's poured over his head, and he needed that extra chizik, that Shmuel gave him a kiss, to show that connection. And oil itself signifies, first of all, oil doesn't mix together with other substances. It rises to the top. And oil itself, in other words, the fact that it rises shows that the one anointed with oil is going to be a leader. He's Murom Meyom, he's elevated from the people. So Shmuel took the Pach HaShemen, it was regular oil, it was a earthenware container, and he poured it on the head of Shaul, Vayishakehu, and he kissed him. Vayomer, and he said, take note of what's happening. Hello, is it not? Hasn't Hashem anointed you on his inheritance, Lenogid, as a ruler? Don't you realize what I've done? Don't let the moment pass in oblivion. Nobody knows about it. It's forgotten. But you should know you're being appointed as Lenogid. And again, the word used is not a melech, even though sometimes we'll see David HaMelech was also called a Nogid. Nogid means a ruler. You can have a melech who's also called a Nogid. But you don't find that he mentioned that Shaul is being anointed as a king. Even though it seems that had Shaul done the right thing, the Pasuk says he would have been established, him and his children would have been melochim, it would have continued on. But he's still called a Nogid. This was not the optimum. This was not the real Malchus for Klal Yisrael. But take note. You've been anointed as the king, Al Nachlos Al Nogid. Belechtecha Yom Eimodi, when you travel today and you leave me, Umatzosa Shnei Anoshim, you'll find two people in Kvuras Rachel, near Kever Rachel. Kever Rachel was established hundreds of years earlier by Yaakov Avinu. But it was well known. Everyone knew where Kever Rochel is, just like nowadays, everyone knows where Kever Rochel is. You'll find two people by Kever Rochel. Bigvul Binyamin, on the boundary of Binyamin, Bitzeltzach, in a place called Tzeltzach, which is difficult because Kever Rochel is not on the border of Binyamin. It's not. As Rashi says, Kever Rochel is in the Chelek of Yehuda, in Beis Lechem. But the Pasuk, with Lechaira, the simple way to learn the Pasuk is you're going to find two men that are right now by Kever Rochel, and you'll find them by the Gevul Binyamin. It's the same way you're leaving me and you're going to be traveling, they're also on the move, and you'll encounter them by the Gevul Binyamin, Bitzeltzach. Assuming that's the case, and we don't find that they discussed with Shaul where they're coming from, it must be for some reason we want to mention Kever Rochel. We'll see in a moment. These two people will say to you, the donkeys that you went looking for have been found. Your father has abandoned totally the whole matter of the donkeys. And he's worrying about you, in the plural. He's worried about you, Shaul in the Nar. Lamor saying, but his words, his cry, is what about my son? He's worried about both of you. But there's a special attachment of a father to a son. The Moes, that's his concern is more, Livni. Well, what am I going to do for my son, Shaul? He's gone. Now, as we'll see, immediately Shmuel anointed him, and we're going to see there are three different signs that indeed he is to be the king. Which, again, is a very unusual thing, that if somebody's anointed as the Novi Hashem, which Shmuel was known and was accepted in all of Klal Yisrael, nobody disputed the fact that he was the Novi and he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Yet Shaul needed this extra chizik. And the first sign was, he'll meet two people by Kever Rochel. And the Mefarshim point out, first of all, he mentioned the people that are coming from Kever Rochel. You should know you descend from a mother, the Mama Rochel, from Rochel Imenu. So you have a zechus coming from Rochel. Bigvul Binyamin, and there's a connection with Binyamin. He was from Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin was the only one of the Shvatim who was born in Eretz Yisrael after Yaakov Avinu returned from the house of Lavan. Yaakov was born in Eretz Yisrael. Bitzeltzach, the word Tzeltzach can be taken to mean Sail is like a shadow under the protection of Tzach, the one who's illuminating, the one who's light, who's clear, which is a reference, it says in Shir HaShirim, Dodi Tzach Ve'odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Tzach. So Tzel Tzach, first of all, we'll see, could mean the shadow of Hashem, meaning in Yerushalayim. It can also be explained, Sail, the shadow, the protection of Tzach, the one who provided light. If you remember when we were first introduced to Shaul's grandfather, who is called Ner, here he's called Kish, the son of Aviel. In Dibrei HaYomim, he was called Kish, the son of Ner. And we mentioned his grandfather used to light lights, so that people could find their way in the dark streets on the way to the Beis Medrash. But that zechus, that was a zechus of his grandfather, was also great. Betzeltzach. And they're going to tell you the donkeys were found. Being merames to the fact that Shul went schlepping around the country with a lot of tircha. And call it derochim v'cheska sakona, it's not safe to travel. And he went and he traveled around looking for his father's donkeys, for that kibud of. Another zechus for Shul. And we'll see in a moment they gave him two loaves of bread, being merames to the two luchais that Shul grabbed when the Aron was captured. We mentioned the Aron was captured after it was taken to battle from Shiloh. And Shul went and he grabbed the luchos and he came running back. That's the chus, that he grabbed the luchos and he made that effort and that he risked himself to save the luchos. That's also the chus. So they're going to come and they were merames. And I'll say all the numbers, there are different Ramazim exactly why these signs were chosen. But Shmuel told him, when you leave me today, you'll find two people by Kever Rochel in the boundary of Binyamin Betzeltzach, and they'll tell you the donkeys were found. And your father indeed, just like you thought, you had a correct understanding of the situation, that your father is no longer worried about the donkeys, he's worrying about you. It's also merames that when somebody becomes a leader of Klal Yisrael, there are many different people that associate with him. There's at the lower end, the lowest end of the strata, you have the people whose life revolves around the Gashmias, the people whose life is around the lost donkeys. You know, how's the stock market doing today? You know, the people who are involved with the donkeys. And you see, they don't greet him. They're just going to say to him, Nimsu asoinos, the donkeys were found, and they'll give him this curt message. But they don't greet him with a shalom aleichem, there's no sort of bond. They just tell him the donkeys were found. That's what the life revolves around. But Shul shouldn't be concerned that the lower, that these people would be harmful to him or would threaten his malchus. He'll be the leader over a group like that. V'chalafta misham v'hola. Simply means you'll travel, you'll go further from that place, further in the distance. And it could also be merames that v'chalafta, but you have to do a change. You can't, this can't be the your main concern in life, but v'chalafta, you have to change yourself and have a group that's more inspired. Uvosad elon tavar, and you'll come to a place elon tavar. And again, the different places mentioned have a significance. Tavor, two things are mentioned in Chazal. First of all, the Torah was given on Har Sinai, and it wasn't given on the other mountains, and one of them is Har HaKarmel, and the other one is Tavor. Ki kisavor behorim uche karmel bayom yovo. I don't remember offhand where the Pasuk is, but that's what the Pasuk says. There was Tavor came for Kabbalah's Torah, but the Torah was given on Sinai, which was a low mountain. To be merame is that even though he's going to be the king, he has to remember Tavor, the sense of humility. Also, Tavor was the place you find by Devora in Barak when they fought against Sisera. It says, "Moshachti elecha al nachal Kishon," and they went to Har Tavor. Har Tavor is mentioned over there by Sisera. That was where they defeated Sisera. So Tavor is where there was strength of Klal Yisrael, and they were able to overcome over their enemies. Another message for Shaul, that he should be the strong leader to lead Klal Yisrael. And we already mentioned Tzeltzach is taken as Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is under the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a connection that if the king has a connection with Hashem, he'll be Matzliach as a king. And we'll mention the third place a little later. But so the second place is he's going to come to Elon Tavor. Three people will meet you in this place. Olim Elo Elokim Beisel. They're going up to Hashem in the place called Beisel. That was the place where Yaakov Avinu came to the place that used to be Luz, and he had the dream with the Malachim and the ladder, Malachim going up and down. And then he said, this place will be a Beis Elokim, and he established it as a Mokum Tefillah and a Mokum to become close to Hashem. And these people were going up to Beis El. Echanose Shlosha Gedoyim. One of them was carrying three goats, three little kids. Ve'echanose Shloshes Kikros Lechem. One of them was carrying three loaves of bread. Ve'echanose Nevel Yoyim. And one was carrying a jug of wine. That's what they were carrying. V'sha'alu l'chol l'shalom. This group will already greet Shaul, and they'll ask, they'll inquire about his welfare. V'sha'alu l'chol l'shalom. V'nosnu l'chol shtei lechem. They'll give you two breads. V'lo kachto miyodam, and you are commanded to accept it. Shaul himself never took things, but he told Shaul, when they give you the two loaves of bread, you should accept it. And it should be pointed out, when they first came to Shmuel, they said they didn't have anything to give Shmuel. They didn't have any food with them. Now they came to Shmuel and they had a good meal. Shmuel was given the choice cuts of meat and they had a good meal, and they're leaving the next morning. It doesn't say they took along any food. He was told to walk there and don't worry, there'll be food waiting for you. And they'll give you the two loaves of bread. This group is already... They're aspiring. They're going to the Beis El. They're going to Olam El HaElokim. They're trying to climb the ladder of Ruchnius, and they're going to Beis El. And they'll already have a stronger connection with Shaul. They'll greet you, and they'll offer you shtei lechem to signify. There can be meat. There can be gedoyim. There can be kids, which is a good meat, right? You know from Yaakov Avinu that. Rivka said the Gedoye Yizim tastes like the venison, like deer. It's a choice meat. But there could be meat available, and there could be wine. But a king, even though it's mutter, I mean, even a commoner could have meat and wine. But a king especially should be careful not to get pulled after that. You know, sometimes if a person has enough money to take a short vacation, and he takes the vacation, it's not a concern. But if a person has a lot of money and he figures, well, he's got a lot of money, he'll vacation with his money, he can get caught that's his whole life. It's one big vacation. And he can lose the whole purpose. A king has to be careful. When they greet you, they'll give you bread. The king should take the bread, leave aside the wine and the meat. And you should accept that. Achar Kain, now the third place, after that, Tavuel Givas Elokim. You'll come to the Giva, the plain, the high place, Elokim of Hashem. And as Rashi and the Targum points out, this was the place Kiryas Yaarim, where the Aron was. After the Aron was sent back by the Plishtim, it was kept in the place in the city Kiryas Yaarim. And we're going to see after it was there 20 years till David HaMelech brought it to Yerushalayim. The third place where Shaul is going to be arriving will be the Givas HaElokim. He'll come to the place of the Arum. Asher Shom Netzivei Plishtim, and over there the Plishtim had their officers. They had an outpost to keep an eye on what's doing. This is to signify that the Arum is in that place. The third thing the king needs is he has to be connected. He has to feel an attachment to Torah in order to lead the people. When you come there in the city, you'll encounter a group of Nevi'im who are coming down from the Boma. The Boma was where they brought korbanos and they brought sacrifices. They have many different types of instruments. A navel is a string instrument that you pluck the strings with your fingers. And Vesof is a drums, used for banging. V'cholil is a wind instrument, a chalil, right, a flute. V'chinor is a different string instrument, a harp. Some say it's a string instrument that you use a pick or something to strum, not your fingers. You use a little, you draw some other type of implement over the bow strings. Either you pluck it or you draw it. It's like a harp. You draw a bow over the strings. Behema misnabim. And they're going to be saying nevuah. V'tzolcha lecha ruach Hashem. And then a spirit of Ruach Hashem will pass over you. And you will say Nevuah with them. Or Chol will become just like this, the Nevi'im. And you'll be changed to be a different person. To signify that this group, the group of the highest Ruchni strata of the people, that should be the group that Shol most closely identifies with. That's the one that he's one with. He has to be able to get along with everyone, and he leads them all, and he can rule over all of them, but the one that he should be like, Visnabisa Imam, he should be like those on the highest level of Ruchnius. And at this point, Shol will first feel a change in himself, and he'll be different than he was. The Plishtim were, again, at the Givas Elokim. Could be they realized that the Aron, where the Aron was, is sort of the heart of Klal Yisrael at this point. This is where the Aron was, and they had Plishtim as a outpost there to make sure that the Yidden didn't make any trouble, and if everything's quiet in Kiryas Yarim, things, hopefully they have control over the country, the Plishtim thought. It's mentioned here again, because again, as Shol becomes the king, and he does, and he takes all of these signs in the right way, he'll be able to defeat the Plishtim. Or right now, you're going to come to the Givas Elokim, and there are Plishtim there, but don't worry about it. He'll be able to handle the situation, he'll be able to overcome the Plishtim. When these signs occur for you, do for yourself asher timse yadecha. Do what you're able to. Ki ho Elokim imach, because Hashem is with you. On one hand, it seems to say that the sky's the limit. Do whatever you're able to, and as you should know, you're the king, and you have the absolute power. Do whatever you're able to. On the other hand, it's stressed, asher timse yadecha. Certain things are beyond you. In other words, you have to know your abilities and your capabilities, but now you're able to harness it and fully utilize all of your abilities. V'yoradato lefonai ha-Gilgal. You'll go down before me to Gilgal. V'hinei anochi yored eilecha. I'm going down to you. I'll meet you by Gilgal. L'halos olos, to bring up the burnt sacrifices, the korban oila. L'izboach zivchei shlomim, to bring the korbanos of shlomim that are eaten by others besides the part that goes on the Mizbeach. Shivas yomim tochel. For 7 days you should wait, ad boi eilecha, until I come to you. V'hodati lecha, and then I will inform you, eis asher tase, exactly what you should do. Which is a hint that this is actually going to be the first one of Shol's tests. When I come down, I'll let you know if you passed the test or not. He didn't say it directly. He said, I'll give you instructions when I come down. And we're going to see this was Shol's first mistake. But it should be pointed out. When we learn the Psukim, it seems to be Shol goes to these three places. He'll experience Nevuah. He'll go to Gilgal. And that's the sequence of events. But there was other events that happened first. First, we'll see what happened was the people gathered together. Shmuel gathered them to a different place, to Mitzvah. And over there, they did a goyrol, they did a lottery to see who would be the leader. And Shol was the one who was chosen. Then they went to Gilgal, and they again established Shol as the king. This part of Shmuel going down and bringing the korbanos happened afterwards. There was a lapse of time in between. And the very fact that there was a lapse of time, it wasn't so clear, especially when somebody's under pressure, like we'll see Shol was under pressure to go to war without waiting for Shmuel. When somebody's under pressure and the message doesn't seem to be exactly 100%, it leaves room for making a mistake. Of course, Shol was expected not to. The Pasuk says clearly he's going to come to a place, Gilgal, and there's a time that he's going to have to wait for Shmuel. But we'll see more about that when we get to that perek. In Pasuk Zion, he mentioned you're going to become the king and you'll be able to do whatever you are able to do. One Pasuk later, he said, though, you should know your first action in Gilgal, you can't do anything until I come. Or they can do everything, but the first time in Gilgal, you have to wait for Shmuel to bring the korbanos. V'hayakaf noso shichmo. It was when Shaul turned his shoulder l'leches mim Shmuel. Shaul turned to take leave of Shmuel. V'yafach lo elokim levacher. He was given a new heart. The heart of a king, I think the Rambam brings down, is Lev Melech is Kalev Ha'am. The heart of the people, of the king, personifies the heart of the people. And a king has a different heart. In fact, it says in Mishle, Lev Melech, Lev Melochim Biyad Hashem, Al Kol Asher Yachpots, Lev Melech Biyad Hashem, Al Kol Asher Yachpots Yatenu. The heart of a king is in the hands of Hashem. Whichever way Hashem wants, he'll turn it. Meaning, whatever you do in your private life, you have 100% Bechira, and you can do it. But once you become a king, every action of yours impacts on the whole country. It impacts on the whole people. To a certain extent, the king loses his Bechira. In other words, anything that involves the people, I say, like we make these shtalos and you try that, Klai Yisrael should have the leaders that are best, whatever, to our benefit. But in the end result is, no matter who the leader is, once it involves Klal Yisrael, his heart is already directly controlled by Hashem. But Vayafach lo Elokim Levacher, now Shaul experienced, he felt like a king. He got a new heart, the courage, the chizuk that a king has. Vayavo kol ha'osos ha'ele bayomahu. This was a one-day event. Or as he went to the first place, Gvul Binyamin B'Tzeltzach, and he heard about the donkeys, and then he went to Elon Tavar, and he met the people going up with the goats, the meat, the wine, the bread. And then he went to the Kiryas Yarim, to Givas Elokim, and he met the people, the group of Nevi'im. All this was a one-day experience. Vayavo Sham HaGivasa. And then they came, Shaul and his nar, his lad, they came to Giva. And there was a group of Nevi'im coming toward him. And the Ruach of Hashem passed over Shaul, and he said Nevu amongst them. All those who knew Shaul from the past, from yesterday, the day before, and they saw v'hinei neviim niba. He was saying nevuah. He was saying prophecy with the prophets. Vayomer ha'am. So the people said, Yishal re'ir one to the other. Maze ha'yel ben Kish. What happened to the son of Kish? Hagam Shaul ba neviim. Is Shaul also among the neviim? In order to be a navi, there are certain perfection of character that's required, which is easy for a person if it's sort of in his family. Like the famous Jerushas Haran, the Ran asks by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had Vesanevesh Asher Osu Bechoron, he had many Talmidim who learned from Avraham Avinu. Yet when it came for a Shidduch for Yitzchak, he sent them all the way back to his homeland where they worshipped idols, to Lavan. Why did he send them back to Haran? Over there they worshipped idols, they didn't believe in Hashem. Avram had his own Talmidim who were recognized Hashem. And the Drosh HaSaran explains, because those who were close with Avram intellectually grasped Hashem, and they knew how they should serve Hashem, but the Midos are a lot harder to change. And Avram knew by his homeland, where Rivka was coming from, the Midos there were good. So if you took a Shidduch from that place, even if it's a household of Avodah Zarah, but Rivka can be, it's once you convince somebody of the truth, that they know the truth, and they'll serve Hashem, but the main thing is the Midos should be there, because it's very hard to change Midos. Very hard to change a person's qualities. So a Navi has to work on himself. You can go to the school of the Nevi'im, B'nei HaNevi'im. They had Talmidim of the Nevi'im. A person would learn what the process was by which a person could be Zeichet Ruach HaKadosh. If you want to know how to do it, one way is you can look at Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim gives you the step of the ladder, and he tells you everything you can do. And he writes, the last step is a present from Hashem that if you're worthy, you can be given Ruach HaKodesh. But anyways, that's a different discussion to elaborate on the Mesilas Yesharim. But there's a course that a person would have to do to perfect himself to become a Navi. But it was a lot easier if you came from a family of Naviim. It would seem to be the normal course. If your father's a Navi, and you work on it, you can become a Navi. But Mazeh Hayil Ben Kish, what happened to the son of Kish? His father wasn't a Navi. The son of Kish, something's unusual. And Hagam Shol Banavim, Shol himself as a person. Do we know that he was studying, he was working on himself to become a Navi? Vayan Ish Mishon. You know, there's a famous story, by the way, with the Sfas Emes was a boy when he became a Rebbe. He became a Rebbe instead of his grandfather, the Chidushi, after the Chidushi Arim was Nifter. And he was young, and he was the Rebbe. And people asked him, how does he become the Rebbe over thousands of Hasidim, the Gera Hasidim? So he answered, there was once people who took a arduous mountain climb. And they struggled with all of their belongings, and they climbed mile after mile up the mountain, and a lot of people dropped out and got sick on the way and couldn't make it. And finally, the few hardy individuals made it to the top. They got to the top of the mountain, and they saw there were a group of people there. And among the people, there was a child. There was a baby. So they asked, how did the baby get to the top of the mountain? Only the strongest of us were able to climb. Does he feel he's... how does he become the Rebbe over thousands of Hasidim, the Gera Hasidim? So he answered, there was once people who took a arduous mountain climb. And they struggled with all of their belongings, and they climbed mile after mile up the mountain, and a lot of people dropped out and got sick on the way and couldn't make it. And finally, the few hardy individuals made it to the top. They got to the top of the mountain, and they saw there were a group of people there. And among the people, there was a child. It was a baby. So they asked, how did the baby get to the top of the mountain? Only the strongest of us were able to climb. So they answered him, he was born up here. The baby didn't climb the mountain, he was born on the mountain. So the Fasem said the same thing. You ask him, am I worthy to be the Rebbe? I was born here. Or as my grandfather did the climbing, I mean, I was in his own anivus. The Fasem himself was certainly more than worthy. But in his anivus, he said, my grandfather became the Rebbe, that's why I'm... But if a person has it in his yichus, it's easier for him if he prepares himself to reach greatness. So he said to him, Hagam Shol Banavim? Vayan Ish Mishom Vayomer, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayan Ish Mishom Vayomer, one of the people responded and he said, Umi Havim? Who's their father? In other words, what about every other Novi? You see a whole group of Novim. And who's their father? Everybody here has a father who's a Novi? No. It could be somebody's father's a common person, and he becomes a Novi. Especially with Midos, a lot of times the people, the most common people can have good Midos. It just needs the person to build on it and to grow on it. But the latent abilities are there. So you don't see that the father was a Novi. Al-Kain Hoysel and people picked up on that. That you're right. It's nothing unusual. If your father is not great, you can still become great. But Al-Kain Hoysel the expression became was, Hagam Shol Banavim. How do you have somebody like Shol, who he himself didn't seem to be fit for Nevuah, and all of a sudden transformed himself? Now, Shol at this point was not young. We already discussed. He was probably, certainly over 50. I mean, probably in the 60s or 70s. But all of a sudden, Shol is among the Nevi'im. By Chalmi Snabos. Anyways, Shol finished saying this Nevuah. His role in life, he was not going to be a Novi. He finished with it. But he was given this experience by Yavo HaBom, and then it came to the Boma. If you notice, the Nevi'im went to the Boma, and they had the musical instrument. Music can help put somebody in the frame of mind to bring him to Nevuah, like we find by Elisha. Music has a tremendous koyach. So they had music with them, and they went up to the Boma bringing karbonos, and the sacrifices help a person feel a closeness to Hashem, which is also conducive to Nevuah. They did all of this as a preparation to become Nevi'im. With Shaul, it was the other way around. He experienced Nevuah. Then he went, Vayavo HaBoma, then he went to the Boma to bring his carbon. It's interesting. It's a separate course of discussion. But in Tehillim, sometimes the prokim start off LeDavid Mizmor, and sometimes it says Mizmor LeDavid. And some of Forshim explained that Mizmor LeDavid is, he had a Mizmor, a song, and that would help bring the Ruach HaKodesh to David. Sometimes it was LeDavid, the Ruach HaKodesh came to David, and that brought him to say a Mizmor. Now the trick is to learn through those kapitlach and try to figure out, oh, you know, how do you know from the Mizmor where the Ruach HaKodesh came before the song and the song came before the Ruach HaKodesh? But that concept that sometimes a person is coming down from the Bama and now he's able to experience Nevuah, or he has a Nevuah and then he goes to the Bama. The uncle of Shaul said to him, Vel Naro into the lad of Shaul, and he said, On Halachtim, where'd you go? Vayomer, and he said, Levakesh Esu Asonos. I went to look for those donkeys, Vanirachiyayin, and we saw that they weren't around. Vanovo el Shmuel, and we came to Shmuel. Vayomer Dod Shaul. It was almost as if, I don't know if he had a premonition or he had, in other words, Vayomer Dod Shaul. So the uncle of Shaul said to me, pressed him a little, Hagidon Oli, tell me now, please tell me, Mo Omar Lechem Shmuel. What did Shmuel tell you? Vayomer Shaul el Dodo. Shaul said to his uncle, Hagid Higid Lanu. He told us, Kinimtsu Ha'asonos, that the donkeys were found. Vestivar Hamaluchalo Higidlo. But he didn't tell him the whole matter of kingship. The Devar HaMelucha, everything that involving a melech, he didn't tell his uncle. Asher Amar Shmuel, which is what Shmuel had said, he didn't convey over what the message of Melucha. First of all, besides the fact he didn't tell him, I am the king, he didn't even, anything Devar, anything pertaining to the Malchus, anything that Shmuel told him, go to one place and you'll see this sign and you'll see that sign and you'll say Nevuah, he left the whole discussion out. He just mentioned the donkeys were found. That's the only thing he told his uncle. And it's a tremendous gevura. Rashi mentions Vestivar HaMeluchalo Higi Derech Tzniyus Haisabo. It showed his modesty. I say, people think very often, you know, a very narrow definition of tznius. You know, a person is dressed properly, he's dressed in the manner of a tznua. But it's actually a whole thought process. It's a whole mode of behavior that he didn't want to say that he was chosen as the king. It was a matter of tznius, but that's private. Asher Omar Shmuel, the simple meaning is, everything that Shmuel had told him, he didn't relate to his uncle. But it could also be he didn't tell him over Vestivar Melucha Lo Higilo, he didn't tell him over Devar Melucha. Asher Omar Shmuel, because Shmuel had said to keep it a secret. Now, he didn't say it directly. But the fact that Shmuel told him, have the Nar go ahead of us, and he anointed him privately, and he gave him the osos, the signs, Shmuel took it as a, I say, I don't know if this is a different shot than that matter of tznius, but could be Shaul, and could be the fact that he was so modest, he interpreted Shmuel's words to mean, don't let people know that you're the king. Now, it's besides the fact that right now I'm doing it secretly, at the moment it should be kept a secret. And he didn't tell him the Devar HaMelucha. And this is another Chazal learn out, that Rachel, since Rachel had saw her simonim, she gave over her simonim to Leah. Now, as Yaakov had arranged that he was going to marry Rachel, and she gave over the signs to Leah. That sneeze that she had, that she didn't want Leah to be embarrassed, she was zoicha to a Binyamin. In fact, Chazal, the Gemara doesn't mention the stage of Binyamin, but the Midrasha mentioned Binyamin also had that sneeze, that the fact that he could keep quiet, because he knew that the brothers sold Yosef. But he knew that there was nothing positive to come out from him saying it. It would cause, he shouldn't say it. So Binyamin kept that secret. that my brother is gone, and he knew where his brother was, and he knew how upset Yaakov was, but he knew it was not to be told, and Binyamin kept the secret. Binyamin, who was able to keep a secret, was zeicha to a descendant Shoal, who we see right now did not say over the Devar HaMelucha. And Shoal, because he was able to conduct himself that way, was zeicha to have a descendant Esther, who also was able to keep the secret. And Esther Magedes Molarata Vesama, she didn't say that she was from Klal Yisrael until the opportune moment. So if somebody has that quality and he's able to build on the milus of his family that have been passed on through the generation, if he does it, it can continue with the next generation and onward. So he didn't tell over the Devar HaMelucha. Vayatzik Shmuel Asa'om. Now Shmuel gathered the people, but it was gathered, usually had the town crier, you called out, everyone should gather together, El Hashem HaMitzvah. He gathered them all to Hashem by the Mitzvah. A mitzvah was a place that Yeshua defeated kings back in Sefer Yeshua, and therefore was taken as a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Siyata Dishmaya, there's a Shefa of Ruchnias, there's an outpouring of Ruchnias. The Mitzvah is in a opportune place to have Siyata Dishmaya, to meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel. So Shmuel gathered the people to Mitzvah. Vayomer al B'nei Yisrael, and he said to the B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer al B'nei Yisrael, and he said to B'nei Yisrael, Ko Omar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, this is what Hashem Elokei Yisrael says, Anochi Halasius Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. I brought up Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Vo'atzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim, and I saved you from Mitzrayim. U'miyad kol hamamlochos halochatzim eschem, and from all of the kingdoms that have been oppressing you. Now we're going to see, Shmuel is going to give Klal Yisrael Musar again for asking for a king. That's going to be in Perek Yud Beis. Again, when he's going to appoint Shoal as the king, he's going to again speak to Klal Yisrael at length how they were wrong for asking for a king. At this point, though, he just wants to mention, again, they're going to choose the king, but he just wants to, people shouldn't think that his initial reaction was it was wrong, and he told them it was wrong, and he warned them about having a king, and now that time has gone by, maybe Shmuel has changed his mind. Maybe Hashem changed his mind. So just as a brief to Pesukim, when he's going to introduce Shoal to the whole people as the king, and he's going to show everybody that Shoal is the king, he briefly shows them and reminds them that it's not good that they asked for a king, but here he is. But this is in short. Hashem says, I brought you out of Mitzrayim. You might think you need a king to help you. Who's going to save you from the Goyim? There was a Yetzias Mitzrayim without any king. I brought you out of Mitzrayim. And it wasn't a one-time event, you were saved from Mitzrayim. But v'atzil eschem miyad kol hamam l'chois halochatzim eschem. And I saved you from all of the kingdoms that have been oppressing you. Every time that Klal Yisrael had problems with the Goyim, and they did tshuva, Hashem helped them. That's the whole Sefer Shmuel. That was the sequence of events. And when the Navi helped them, it was good for a long time. You know, when you read through it, it seems like they did one thing wrong, and then there was a Chofe, and again it was wrong, and a Chofe. But you don't realize there's a long time span. There can be a Chofe, and things are quiet for 40 years. I mean, for 40 years, things are good, and then eventually people slip. You know, it could be it's the next generation. Reading through it, it seems to be one after another. There's one Chofe after another. But it was a time span of hundreds of years. But Hashem says, I saved you from all of the mamlochos. You don't need a king. V'atem hayom ma'astem es alokeichem. But you've despised Hashem. Asher hu moshia lachem. He's the one who saves you mikol roseichem from all of your calamities, all of the bad things. V'tzoroseichem and all of your tzorois, all of your difficulties, all of the things that pain you. V'tomru lo. And you've said to Hashem, ki melech tosim aleinu, give us a king. Place a king over us. Va'ata now isyatzvu. Stand up. Lifnei Hashem before Hashem. L'shiv teichem u'la'alfeichem. with your Shvatim, all of the tribes should be there, Ulal Feichem, and all the thousands, the groups of thousands of Klal Yisrael, everybody should be gathered by mitzvah, and you're going to get a king. Now again, the only two people who knew this were Shmuel and Shaul. Now, because everything had been quiet, nobody knew who the king was going to be. Vayakrif Shmuel eiskol Shivta Yisrael. Shmuel brought near all of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, Vayilocheid Shevet Binyamin. Now, the Pasuk doesn't clearly say exactly how... And Shevet Binyamin was caught. In other words, they were the ones who were selected. But it doesn't say how they were selected. How was Shevet Binyamin selected? Some say with a Goyrol, they did like a lottery. Some say with the Urim V'tumim. And with the Urim V'tumim itself, the question is whether the Urim V'tumim that was worn by the Kohen Gadol and the stones would light up and would convey a message, the Urim V'tumim could be where Shaul's request. Some of Forshim learned that he did a lottery, he did a Goyrol. And Shaul wanted to be like absolutely sure, is he supposed to be the king? Because if there's any questions, let somebody else do it. And Shaul requested the Urim V'tumim. But the message came through that Vayilochet Shevet Binyamin, the king is coming from Shevet Binyamin. Vayakri v'Shevet Binyamin the Mishpachosav. So they brought near the Shevet of Binyamin with its families. And it's written, the Ksiv is written without a Yud. It's written L'mishpachosav, like to his family. Because the truth is Shmuel knew exactly which family it is. It was really is bringing the Shevet Binyamin for this family. But the truth is he gathered together all the families and he went through the whole process. Vatilochet Mishpachas HaMatri. And the family of Matri, which is in the lineage of Shaul, was again caught. The term used, Vayilochet, to like, that's a term usually a hunter catches something. But Vayilochet, to catch him, is if Shaka Shaul wasn't interested. He was sort of ensnared and he was caught to be the king. But he was trying to get away from it. Vayilochet Shaul ben Kish, and then it went, must have gone within the family, and Vayilochet Shaul ben Kish, then they did a goyrol, like the Matsudas points out, by the individuals, and eventually Shaul was the one who was caught, Vayivakshu, and then they went looking for him, below Nimsa. He wasn't there. Everyone was gathered at mitzvah, and I guess when he realized, oh boy, he's in trouble, it looks like it's ending for him, so he ran away. Vayishalu od b'Hashem, so they asked further by Hashem, Havo od halom ish. Has there come any more over here, the person that, in other words, has he come? In other words, they looked around, there is no Shaul ben Kish here. Did he come? Maybe he's somewhere else in the vicinity. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Hinehu nechbo el hakelim. He's hiding among the kelim, among the vessels. He's in the coat room. He's hiding. Chazal, by the way, point out, when it comes to greatness, Gedula is very difficult for a person to go up to greatness. Like you see Shaul. Shaul didn't want the position. But it says it's very difficult for a person who's in that position to give it up. Or Shaul didn't want to become king. But it's something to keep in mind. We'll see later on, once he was king, and he realized that David was going to be the next leader, he was out to kill David. That which we'll learn in depth in the later Prakim. But a person very often doesn't want Gedula, but once he has it, he doesn't want to give it up. It's like they say, a baby doesn't want to be born, the neshama doesn't want to have to bother with this world. But once a person's here, he'd like to spend as much time as possible. Should be healthy, good years. But anyways, Hineu nechbel ha-kelim. Shaul doesn't want the job, he's hiding among the kelim. Vayarutsu, they ran. Vayikachu misham, and they took him from there. Vayisyatze besocha am. And he stood up among the people. Vayigba mikol am, and he was higher than everyone. Mishichmo v'mola, from his shoulders and above. It was clearly evident that he looked like a leader. Vayomer Shmuel akol ha'am. Shmuel said to all the people, Hari'isem asher bochar bo Hashem. Have you seen the one that Hashem chose? There are certain letters in Lashon HaKodesh that never get a dogesh. You know, the dot inside the letter. Resh is one of them. Over here, there is a dogesh. There is a dot inside the resh. In fact, he points out it's resh degusha. Dogesh literally means to put a stress, to emphasize it. Normally, a letter like that doesn't get a dogesh. That's among the rules of diktuk, among grammar. But over here, if there's a dogesh in this resh to stress it, Hari Isam, have you seen? Or let's take a note. This is not, the goyrel is not a haphazard type of thing. When a goyrel is done, a goyrel through Hashem, in other words, whatever it comes out to, that's the way, that's the one that Hashem wanted to get that. Have you seen the fact that Shaul was the one that had been chosen by Shmuel? Shmuel knew that Shaul was going to be the king. And the goyrel just re-emphasized it, the Urim V'tumim, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said he's Hanechbal HaKelim. The Urim V'tumim said it was supposed to be Shaul, and you can see he's the one who fits the role. In his midos and in his physical build, there's no question. Hara'isim, have you seen it with a strong stress on that? Asher Bochar Bo Hashem, have you seen the one that Hashem has chosen? Ki ein kamohu b'chol ha'om. There's nobody like him among the whole people. To have a king, you need two things. A king was chosen by Hashem, and the king has to be accepted by the people. And the truth is, you see them, they're both in the pasuk of the Torah. It says, Som tosim olecha melech, you have to place a king over you, asher yivcha Hashem lekecha bo, that Hashem will choose. Or as Hashem chooses the king, it's chosen with the Navi appoints the king, and together with the Bezdin of 71, the Sanhedrin is there. It's chosen by Hashem, and the people have to accept it. So Shmuel was pointing out, Shaul is the one who's chosen by Hashem. And he's also the one that, Vayariu Chol Ha'om, Vayomru Yechi HaMelech, the whole people, they called out, and they said, Yechi HaMelech, the king should live. They accepted Shaul to be the king. Vayidaber Shmuel El Ha'om, Shmuel spoke to the people, Eis Mishpat HaMelucha, the laws involving Malchus, either what we've touched on before, the rights of the king, but there are many, unfortunately, we already said, the Gemara mentions, there are those who learn that whatever he told him, the king will do, that's the facts. The kings are going to end up doing that. They're going to end up taking things they're not supposed to. They're going to be drafting people to do jobs that they shouldn't be doing. It's a question whether the kings have that right or not. But there's the Mishpat HaMelucha, how a person deals with the king, all the halachas of a king. For instance, you can't use the king's items. You're not allowed to ride the king's horse and use the king's scepter or a garment. Shmuel went over with the people, Eis Mishpat HaMelucha. You have to learn the halachas now. You have a king, you got to learn the halachas. Vayichtov ba'sefer, and they wrote it down in a sefer. Vayanach lifnei Hashem, and they placed it before Hashem. In Vayishalach Shmuel as kol ha'om. Shmuel sent away the people, Ish leveso. Everybody was sent back to his house. Could be he was afraid that the plishtim would hear. In other words, everyone was gathered together. It was a tremendous, all of Klal Yisrael was assembled. It could be the plishtim would hear about it. So Yevedavka said, okay, everybody, we've selected the king, everybody should go home. V'gam Shaul holach leveso givosa. Shaul himself, went back to his house in Giva. It seems to imply that he picked himself up and he went back alone. Vayelchu imo, anyways, he got up to go, so Vayelchu imo, they went with him, Hachayil, the army, the group of people, Asher Noga Elohim Belibom, that the fear of Hashem, the Yiras Hashem, the Elohim touched their heart, those people who were inspired by Hashem went together with Shaul. And we'll see in a moment, but Shaul must have sensed that even though the people cried out, Yechi HaMelech, after all of this, he could sense that the people weren't yet ready for him to be the king. Uvnei b'liyal umru. B'nei b'liyal simply means wicked people. As the Targum says, uvnei risha, wicked people. They said, now b'liyal can also means b'li ol, people without a yoke. Usually means people without malchus shamayim, without accepting the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the wicked people, that's the B'nai B'liyal. Here could be B'nai B'liyal, the people who don't want to have the yoke of a king. Or everything's grand when you don't have a king. Oh, we want a king, we'd like to be like everybody else, it's too difficult to live with a Navi. But Lemaisa, during the whole times of the Shoiftim, Isha Yosheb Ein of Yasa, everybody did what he felt was right. And the people were on the par, on the whole, they were on a tremendously high level in Ruchnius. The Navi doesn't bother telling us the good things. He only points out the two or three instances that weren't good. But the people did what was right in their eyes, and they were in charge of themselves. These B'nai Belial Amru, the people without a yoke, said, we don't want a king. Ma Yoshienu Zeh, what's this person going to save us? He's not going to help us. Who wants a king? Especially with Shaul. And some of the Mefarshim say they realized that Shaul himself was no doubt worthy to be a king. But it was again a case of politics. Shaul came from Sheva bin Yamin. Sheva bin Yamin was, at this point, the smallest of the Shvatim. They had been decimated in the battle of Pelegesh Begiva, and which I'm sure there were a lot of people in general had this... people had relatives who were killed by the people of Binyamin. There was a civil war. Tens of thousands of people were killed. And it was all because of Binyamin. And nobody even wanted to marry into Binyamin initially. Binyamin was, and he was from Binyamin. Not only that, but his family was the smallest one in Binyamin. It was definitely that he should be the leader. If you have a leader from Yehuda, which is a large, strong, powerful, influential Shevet, I can hear that he's the leader of the people, because he's got people to back him up. But Shaul, as fine as he might be as an individual, how's he going to help the country? Mayoshienu Zem. Vayivzu, and they despised him. Velohevi'ulo mincha. And the proper thing is, when somebody's appointed as the king, everyone brings him presents. They didn't. And it was obvious it was a slap... It was a slap in the face that they didn't want Shaul as the king. It could be Shaul realized that was... He realized there were these B'nai Belial, and therefore, after he was made king in front of everybody, and it was clear with the Geirul, with the Urim Bitumim, Shaul picked himself up and he went home. And there were those, Shaul picked himself up and he went home, and there were people who went with him, but he himself wasn't expecting an entourage. He went home. If the people don't want him as the king, that's it. He's not doing it. Vayhi kemacharish. And it was like he was quiet. It simply means that, in other words, he was quiet. He accepted it. And Chazal say that was wrong, because a king is not allowed to be moichel his covet. Or the honor for the king is actually the mitzvah of Soin Tosim Alecha Melech, that you have to place over yourself a king, that you have to have an awe and a fear of the king. It's a mitzvah on the people, that the people have to fear their king, and the king must command respect. Or there's a din in the king also. They both have the commandment. You have to honor him, and he must command your honor. And it was a mistake that Shaul, this was the first mistake, Vayhi Kemacharish. And it's so—it's telling. We'll see it in the future prokin. But Shaul was chosen because he was so superlative, and there was nobody like him. And among his many great qualities was his anivus. So he was chosen because he was so great in this manner. And yet he was expected. Now that he was the leader, his nisoyon was not to act with anivus. But that wasn't him, and that was the mistake. Vayhi kemacharish, he was quiet. And others say that it was like he was quiet, meaning inside he planned to settle the accounts. He knew that a king can't be moichel a kovet. A king has to demand respect. He planned to settle the accounts. But on the surface, he was quiet. Inside he knew it settled it. It was like he was quiet, but even that was a mistake. Others see in the words Vayhi kemacharish, he was as if he quieted them. That when they insulted him, and they saw that, It didn't bother him. They realized that he really was the best in midos. He was obviously superlative. You know, you see two people arguing, yelling at each other, you realize each one of them is not an adam nichbud. And the more respectful thing is if a person is quiet. And when they saw he was quiet, that quieted them. But in any case, that was a taina on Shaul. He should have been moicha for the honor of the malchus.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.